This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we bring in Greg Cosell from NFL Films, one of the most respected guys in the game, especially when it comes to taking a look at the video and trying to figure things out. Greg, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, Greg, I want to start with the Browns offensive line. And when you look at them, and I think a lot of us were surprised that Wyatt Teller had graded out so well, especially the first couple weeks, and all of a sudden the impact that he had. And then you take him out of the line and you wonder, I wonder what this line's going to look like moving forward. So your thoughts on the Browns' offensive line and total success this
year?
Well,
it's a legitimate question because, Kevin Stefanski, most people thought of him coming into this season as predominantly a zone running coach. And they've run this season a lot of gap scheme where they pulled the guard, and Teller has been that guy. And I thought he was really, really good through 4 weeks. Now, is he got hurt. Is he out?
Still kind of up in the air.
Not official, no.
Yeah.
But so he could play this week.
We're trying to wait to find out.
Well, he was looking for a second opinion. That's
yeah,
really
well,
good. Yeah.
Like I said, I thought that he was really, really good as a puller in their gap scheme run game. And that's the way they would do it. They would go mostly with him as the puller going to the left side of the offensive formation. So I remember when he came out of college, and I thought in Buffalo when he got an opportunity to start, I thought he played pretty well. So it was interesting to me that obviously Buffalo let him go. But he's been a pretty major factor in what they've done in the run game this season.
When you look at the Browns offense, what strikes you most? Does it look like a carbon copy of what Kevin did in Minnesota, or is it something different, Greg?
Coaches coach what they know and what they do. There's no surprises, so I think there are a lot of similar concepts, a lot of similar elements that we saw in Minnesota. The play-action boot game is something that is obviously something that Kevin does pretty much as a staple of what he does. So you see that for sure. They try to get Baker into a rhythm. What I'm going to say now to me is not the least bit bold or controversial because I sit here and I watch the tape, but I don't think Baker Mayfield's playing particularly well. I know they're 4-1, but I don't think he's playing particularly well.
I can't disagree with you on that. But does he need to?
He's going to need to eventually, yes.
Okay.
It's tough to win in this league when meaningfully, however you define that, without your quarterback playing well. It doesn't mean your quarterback has to be a top three quarterback in the league, but he has to play well.
So what are the things that you're seeing that he's not doing well, and is some of that enhanced by the fact that Browns have had success running the ball?
I think right now he's playing a little fast. He's a little frenetic. He needs to slow down both mentally and physically. He must slow down his entire process. He has a tendency to overstride because he's so frenetic. And when he overstrides, the result of that with most quarterbacks is they sail the ball high. And he sailed a few fastballs too high. So he needs to just slow down. I think he's a really talented thrower. I think he can be a really, really good player. But right now, everything is just happening too fast. And I think he just needs to slow down his process. I think it will probably come over time with more experience in this system and just playing more.
You do like him long term?
I do.
Because the Browns are going to have to make a decision sometime here in the next year or so.
No question. And I think that, barring a change in what's going on now, I don't think you're getting rid of Baker Mayfield. I think first of all, he's in a very good system. And to me, that's a positive. Every quarterback is in a system. There are very few transcendent quarterbacks. So every quarterback fits better with certain approaches than others. And I think this is a very good system for Baker Mayfield. It's a quick rhythm system. It's a system that features play action and play action boot. I think that plays to what he is. So I think he will likely improve as he plays more within Kevin Stefanski's system. And my guess is he'll just become a better player.
Greg, why do you think Myles Garrett is having the numbers he's having this season, and why is he playing, from a fan's perspective? I mean, he's just playing off the charts. But
well, because he's good.
What's your perspective?
I mean, you're dealing with a guy that's big and ridiculously athletic. I mean, I was saying to one of my guys on the matchup show here at NFL Films that sometimes in the run game, he actually stands up too high and loses leverage, which you would never teach anybody to do. But he's so freaking athletic that he can then still make a play and shed the block and play off the contact. You know, he's just a freakishly athletic guy for that size. You know, he's very, very strong. He was the one who was actually responsible for the Rivers interception in the fourth quarter by Redwine, because he actually beat Clark, and then they tried to chip him, and he just went right through it. So he's just an incredibly strong guy. He's really athletic. He can bend. He's just got all the traits, which were very evident when he came out of college. He has all the traits you look for in a defensive end, and they move him inside on occasion.
Greg, what do you think of the rest of the Browns' defense?
I think it's probably a little bit of a work in progress. You know, the problem they face is they're not a team that plays a lot of man coverage. They don't play a ton of cover one, which is the single high safety and man coverage against the five eligible receivers. They play cover four, which is a good coverage for the people they put out there, because what they are lacking is a post safety. They don't have a player who's really a single high safety. So assuming Harrison, I don't know what his injury is. I know he came out and Redwine came in. I don't know if he's out for a while. But Harrison and Sendejo, neither one is a post safety. So they're stuck a little bit because they don't have that player.
Greg, how do you see the Browns being able to exploit any weakness that the Steelers have? You know, you can kind of look through everything they've been able to do. They've had success in a lot of areas this year. What can the Browns exploit when they play the Steelers?
Well, I think it comes down to schematically. I think you'll likely see them in normal down and distance situations play with two tight ends, keep the Steelers in their base personnel package, because then the fronts and the coverages are far more predictable. And the Browns do well out of 12 personnel. It's something, you know, that is a meaningful package for them. So I think you'll probably see them do that. Mayfield's been good out of 12 personnel this year. So that's a starting point, because I think you want, Landry and Beckham to be able to work against those corners. And then schematically you can do some things versus the Steelers when they're in their base. So that's, to me, your starting point in this game. You want to be in 12 personnel.
Greg Cosell joining us from NFL Films. Greg, there's a big story going on in the NFL right now with Le'Veon Bell out in New York, probably thrilled to be out in New York and away from Adam Gase. A, what happened there? B, where do you think Le'Veon fits best as far as him being able to get the opportunity and then being able to help a team?
I don't know. Is that a big story? You know, the guy really hasn't played very much. And when he's played, he hasn't looked very good. So, I mean, again, I'm speaking from a tape perspective. I know his name garners a big story, and he's going to end up somewhere, and he may end up with a good team. I just don't know, watching the tape, what he brings. He's certainly, even his last year in Pittsburgh before he sat out, he carried the ball at least 250 times that year. I think he only had three runs of 20-plus yards. He was starting not to be that guy even in his last year in Pittsburgh. So yeah, I'm just not sure what he brings to the table at this point. Maybe he gets with a good team, good organization, and he gets rejuvenated. I can't speak to that. No one can, because he's not old, but what he's put on tape in recent since he's been back does not suggest to me anyway that, wow, Le'Veon Bell's out there, you better grab him.
Is there a fit for him?
Greg,
Do you think there's a spot where
he, well, I don't think he's a foundation back at this point. I don't think you sign Le'Veon Bell with the idea that he's getting 20, 22 carries a game and he's my guy. I think he's now a complementary piece. He's a back in a committee system. So, you know, the teams I saw this morning on social media, if that means anything, are the Chiefs, the Dolphins, and the Bills. So obviously with the Chiefs, he'd be part of a committee. With the Bills, he'd be part of a committee. Those are probably good fits, and they're good teams.
Greg, I want to talk about the Browns wide receivers for a second. Just how do you see Odell on tape right now? And then when you compare the contributions between, and I don't really want to do this, but I really want to hear your opinion, Odell versus Jarvis, I mean, which one contributes more to this Browns offense?
Well, they're totally different players. You know, Beckham is an explosive guy. You know, and Landry is much more of the tough work, the short to intermediate areas. They do a great job with Landry in scheming up concepts. He had a couple of catches this week that were, you know, real. His 30-yarder this week late in the first quarter, and that was a classic case out of 12, two tight ends. That was a beautiful design, and Landry just, because he's such a detailed, nuanced route runner, just ran it beautifully. But they're totally different players. You know, Beckham is an explosive, explosive athlete. Landry's not quite that guy, so they're different. You know, and that's fine. I mean, Landry's more like the Z, the movement guy, and Beckham's more like an X. So, you know, they both fit. They fit together within an offense.
Greg, what did you see on tape before the breakout game for Odell? Did you see that he still had the explosiveness and it just wasn't working here, or did he have to find it again?
Oh, no, he's still explosive. I mean, keep in mind that, you know, this is a new offense. Look, a perfect example. He made that catch this week, the 26-yarder, where I guess it got reviewed and it counted. You guys remember that catch?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
See, that was a perfect example of Baker having to work through this system. That throw was late. The safety should never have been a factor on the throw if it was on time. And plus, the ball placement was not exactly what you would want. So if that ball's thrown on time, the safety's not a factor. If he hits Beckham in stride, he may have room to run. Who knows, maybe he scores. So there's all kinds of things, all kinds of factors that go into it. But there's nothing wrong with Odell Beckham. Beckham is an explosive, explosive athlete.
Jed Wills had to move from one side of the line to the other. I'm dying to hear what you have to say about him, because, you know, we sit here as fans sometimes and you're like, how do I grade an offensive lineman? How do I, as a fan, how do I know this off? And like, I can see if he's going to pancake somebody. Okay, that's obvious, and we're going to end up seeing that. But how has Jed Wills looked to you?
Well, from, you know, just and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not sitting and charting Willis on every single play. You know, I can't do that, but I loved him coming out of Alabama when I did evaluate him, and I was watching him, and I loved him, and I knew that from an athletic and trait standpoint, he could play on the left side. And from what I've seen, I've watched every game, I just haven't watched him on every snap. From what I've seen, I think he's been very, very good. The athleticism is clear. His ability to kick, slide, and move, and not give up the edge is really impressive. You know, every tackle will have a bad snap here or there. It's just the nature of the game. You know, it's football. You get your butt kicked every once in a while. But I think overall he's going to be a really, really good player. And from what I've seen on the plays where I've really looked hard at him, I think that he's done a really good job.
Greg, real quick, give the Steelers the edge this Sunday or Browns? Who do you give it to?
Well, I think you'd have to give the Steelers the edge, but, you know, the Browns are obviously a team I'm sure playing with a lot of confidence. I'll be very interested to see how their secondary holds up against the Steelers.
Well said, well said. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Always love your knowledge and being able to hear the way you see the game, because I'm always educated after we're done talking to you. Thank you, Greg.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Greg.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Greg Cosell from NFL Films, nice enough to join us right here on Baskin and Phelps.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.